serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
There's no room. In whatever context you hear that said, it's embarrassing. We're at capacity, and that doesn't include you, my friend. Welcome to Through the Bible. In his first moments as a human on earth, there was no room for Jesus. His earthly parents scrambled and found a place for him to be born, but it wasn't luxurious or private or likely even all that clean. Yet Jesus came anyway, and we're celebrating that wonderful event all this week with special messages from Dr. McGee. Today, we'll hear no room for him. You can turn in your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, would you speak to our hearts today through your Word? Thank you for making a way, for providing a Savior for us. We make room for him in our hearts to celebrate him now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now I'm turning today to the record given in the second chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 1 through 7, and I probably should read that, and I trust that you have your Bible and can turn and follow us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And it's on that last verse today that we're directing your attention. Dr. Luke did not employ the low plane of playing upon the human emotions to capture interest in recording this verse. Rather, he gave this statement that there was no room for him in the inn to reveal mankind's coldness of heart and utter indifference to God's constant miracle, the birth of a baby. This passage establishes the truth of the depravity of the race in light of the added fact that this baby was the Savior of the world. To ascribe a motive other than this would prove one low and unworthy, and certainly not altogether accurate. Now let us thank God that there was no room for the Son of God and his mother in the inn. When we understand the conditions that prevailed in a public inn of that day, then we can be truly grateful that the inn at Bethlehem was filled to capacity. It was similar to any public hostelry of the time. There was no such thing as a private room. There was one large public room, and every man brought his own bed or pallet, spread it on the floor at night. Everyone slept in this large common room. Had there been room in the inn, then the birth of Christ would have taken place before the leering eyes of the mob and before the curious gaze of the vulgar crowd assembled therein. Instead of pictures of angels, shepherds, and wise men, we would have pictures of that curious, callous, and cold mob to depict that first Christmas. Frankly, I'd rather have the stable, the manger, the hay, and the dumb oxen than the dumb gazing of the mob. Assuredly, the hand of God was arranging all of this. And he was born in the stable because under the circumstances, it was the best place. What appears to be a tragedy at first glance is a blessing in disguise. But beyond and above all this, there remains the icy indifference of mankind wrapped up in the statement, no room for them. There was lack of recognition and reception of that baby into the world. Oh, the hardness of the human heart. No room for them. Mary, who was heavy with child, had journeyed with her husband Joseph from Nazareth because of a tax decree of Caesar Augustus. Mary was in critical condition and should not have been traveling at all. But what did a brutal Caesar care for babies or for God, for that matter? When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary at the beginning and informed her that the one born of her would be that holy thing, she yielded herself to the power of the Holy Spirit. To enjoy such a privilege meant that she would have a cloud resting over her all the days of her life, and that the world would not, nor could not understand. Was she willing to entrust her reputation into the hands of God? Her response to this was beautiful when she quietly answered in sweet submission, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Mary was carrying the Son of God. On their arrival in Bethlehem, Joseph sought shelter for the mother and the expected child. He was denied such since the inn was filled to capacity. Others, moved by the proclamation of Caesar, also were there preceding them, and they had the choice places. It was not a deliberate plan to turn Mary out. It was what some might call the fortuitous concurrence of circumstances, and could not be helped. Again, let us say that God had planned for a private maternity ward. Clean straw is better than an unclean crowd. Had Bethlehem only known the time of her visitation and the hour of her opportunity, perhaps some private home might have been open to the Son of God, and that home would have become immortal. Perhaps there were those who might have ministered in a physical way on that fateful night to the babe and his mother, and they would have had their names inscribed by angels upon the records of eternity. But Bethlehem went to sleep on that auspicious night, indifferent to the event which was to make this small place among the thousands of Judah the most famous place in the annals of history. There in the stable, which was no more than a cave and a makeshift place, Mary brought forth her firstborn son. The first breath he drew was the air of a stable. He came from the atmosphere of heaven to the air of a stall. He departed from the presence of angels, and he arrived in the presence of animals. He came down from the light of the Father's house to the darkness of man's barn. He gave up the halls of eternity to enter a stable of maternity. It was a long way from the joy of heaven to the sorrow of earth. All the way he came to rescue man from hell. He not only put on the peasant's garment, but accepted the lowly towel of our frail humanity also. It was at Bethlehem that the Word was made flesh and pitched his tent here among us. And we say, oh, the mystery of his person. He was God, but he was also man. This is something you cannot explain in 5 minutes of rapid speaking, when all has been written and said that the human mind has learned about him. The first letter and the first word of the first sentence of the introduction would not have been completed regarding his glorious person. He brought the mystery of heaven down to the misery of earth. To know God, I go to Him. And to know man, I go to Him. Let us consider both the manward side and the Godward side of this birth as it relates to Dr. Luke's statement, no room for Him. First, let's look at His humanity, the manward side of His birth in relationship to our subject, no room for Him. There was no room for Him, they say, and we answer, of course not. He was just a little baby. That was all that men saw. Men would have given a king a royal reception, but a baby was only in the way. George MacDonald put it like this, they all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. Let us repeat that it was just a little baby born in Bethlehem. The prophet had said, unto us a child is born. You could not expect the world to be there, for the world was busy and babies are born every minute. Big business in Bethlehem was not engaged in playing nursemaid to a baby. Caesar's taxes were not to be used in building nurseries. But come look into that manger for just a moment. Do you see him? He's only a baby, just like any other baby. Well, he has a little nose, big eyes, well-chiseled features, an ear like a tiny shell, and such wee hands. Leslie Savage put it like this, a baby's hands in Bethlehem were small and softly curled, but held within their dimpled grasp the hope of half the world. Someone has given in verse this rather quaint definition of a baby, a bald red head, a puckered face, hands blindly wandering into space, a wee faint smile, a stalwart squall, and yards of clothes to hide it all. Yes, that's a baby. This might well be a definition of him, for he was only a baby, and the world was not looking for a baby. Therefore, only God-guided men found him. Shepherds on the hillside who had ears for the voice of angels, the magi who had eyes that could see stars above the camouflage of the things of time. These were the ones who found him and owned him. Simeon, staying overtime in the temple, recognized the Messiah when he was brought in the arms of his mother. Only a few knew him. There was no room for him because there was no room for a baby. Have you ever looked down into a little crib, into a baby face, and attempted to ponder the mystery of a baby? In a real sense, there is an air of mystery about a baby, any baby. Every mother who has held a little one to a heart knows what we're speaking about. If you've never been impressed with the mystery of a baby, then come again and look into the cradle of Jesus. There's a little jingle which belongs perhaps to Mother Goose, and it goes something like this. Where did you come from, baby dear? Out of the everywhere, into the here. This is a simple nursery rhyme, but philosophers and doctors cannot answer the question which is raised therein. Neither logic nor science can probe the meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ answered it in reference to himself when he was here on earth. I am come forth from the Father and am come into the world. Paul gave us the steps from the Father's side to the world. He said in Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no yet reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ was made in the likeness of man. Let me repeat that he had little hands, little feet, just like any other baby. Inasmuch as he became a man, he could have chosen Caesar's palace as his natal place. More likely, he might have chosen the temple, which was his father's house. Jerusalem or Rome might have been his birthplace. He passed them by and came to Bethlehem. He gave up the pomp of princes that he might be called a carpenter's son. He did not even come to a home of those in the middle class. In fact, he passed by all homes and came to a stable that he might be homeless. He did all this that he might be the friend of the child born in the foundling home of the homeless little waif. His coming gave the lie to those who say that some babies are disgraced by birth. No baby is disgraced or degraded by birth. The shame is not of the little ones, but of humanity. He not only became a baby, but he became a companion of the outcast. He said, "But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He came down and took our place. Story is told of the son of a Persian monarch who was making his first voyage with the fleet of his father. During the voyage, an unfortunate occurrence happened on board the boat on which the prince was traveling. One of the servants of the captain fell overboard and was about to be drowned. The captain made no attempt to rescue the man, nor did he appear to be concerned. The prince, who observed all this, turned anxiously to the captain and inquired, "Aren't you going to try to save the man?" To which the captain, smiling, quietly answered, "We do not hold up the fleet of the king for a mere servant." The prince hurriedly removed his royal tunic. Then he climbed to the rail, but before he leaped into the water, he cried, "You may not hold up the fleet of the king for a servant, but you will for his son." The Lord Jesus Christ saw that we were lost in the sea of sin, and that we were going down with none to save, and with none who could save. He climbed to the parapets of heaven, laid aside his glory robes, then leaped into the sea of humanity that he might rescue us from the treacherous waters of sin. He came a little baby thing that made a woman cry. And Christine Rosetta has phrased it in language like this: "It was not that I cared for thee, but that thou didst set thy heart upon me, even me, thy little one. And therefore was it sweet to thee to leave thy majesty and throne and grow like me, a little one." And now, friends, let's consider the Godward side of his birth in relationship to our subject, and we must move along. And the subject is no room for him. Of course there was no room for him at Bethlehem in the inn, when even heaven itself would not contain him. How could an inn in Bethlehem accommodate him when even Solomon's temple in Jerusalem had not been large enough to house God? The palace of Pilate would have been cramped quarters, and Rome would have been little and cheap in which to entertain God. Solomon realized this when he prepared to build the temple at Jerusalem, and at the dedication he says, "Who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him?" That's 2 Chronicles 2:6. If the heavens could not contain him, then most assuredly there was no room in the inn. He's God, and God's not a creature in space. Space is the creation of God and not the prison of God. He moves in space, but he's beyond, above, and far removed from it. Man is not only a creature of time, but he's also a creature of space. Man has performed wonders in transportation, but space still forms the prison bars which surround this earth and shackle man to it. In the prologue to John's Gospel, there is a disputed statement in the 11th verse which says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Now, Weymouth, in his translation, which I do not recommend, translate it thus: "He came to his own home, and his own people gave him no welcome." This translation is no improvement on the others, beyond the fact that it calls attention to the first, his own, as being neuter gender, and might properly be rendered his own things. The second, his own, is masculine gender, and evidently means his own people. It does not do violence to the original to say that he came unto his own world, and his own people received him not. The creator of this world had come, instead of a royal welcome, his people who were living on the fat of the land and who were not paying rent to the owner were indifferent to him and refused to give him a place even to lay his head. Later on, they conspired together to put him to death. Someone has said he was born in a public stable, he died on another's cross, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Verse 10 in John's prologue, which immediately precedes the two statements above, his own, contains a very striking statement. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you see that helpless babe lying in the arms of his mother yonder in the stable at Bethlehem? He's dependent upon her for his very life, but he is the acme of helplessness as he sleeps upon her breast. Yet that babe could have called this universe out of existence had he so chosen. He was God, robed in frail flesh. He was bending down to help humanity, but he came unto his own, and they did not want him. When some great dignity or prominent person visits a city, there is every effort made to entertain that person in a style becoming his rank so that the fair name of the city might be preserved. But when this little baby came, there was no welcome given him at all yonder in Bethlehem. Up in heaven, there was a vacant chair. The Son of God was gone. If anyone there did not know where he had gone, certainly that one would have asked, "Where has the absent one gone?" There was indeed a star in God's window that first Christmas night. He had sent his son to a foreign land as a soldier to die for the greatest cause. He was going to fight the greatest battle against the worst enemy of mankind and of God. He was to meet Satan. He was to be the victor. That star was to become a gold star, for God was giving his son to die for a lost world. It's not a figment of the imagination to say that there was a different note in heaven, for God's creatures looked up at the throne of the Son, and it was vacant. He left it for a stable on earth. That Son, too, must have been homesick for heaven. God must love us poor human beings more than we can comprehend or appreciate to make such a sacrifice for us. And friends, after 1900 years, I want to ask this question in closing. Is there still no room for him? Is there no room for him today in your city or your town? Is there no room for him in your home? And most important of all, is there no room for him in your heart today? May I say that he still stands at the door of the human heart. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him." This Christmas, friends, invite him in. He wants to save. He came to this earth to die, and he was risen from the dead, and he's now at God's right hand. Turn to him.
You know, there will never be a day when God says, "No more, heaven's full." It's just not going to happen. Jesus died to provide a place for you in heaven. You can learn more about God's free gift of salvation at ttb.org when you click on "How Can I Know God?" Or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll send some helpful resources by mail to you. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. There's always room on the Bible bus, by the way, so why don't you invite someone to listen with you next time to our special Christmas message, "The Cross is God's Christmas Tree." If you want to listen online, you can download our app or find a list of stations that carry through the Bible. Just visit us at ttb.org. And if you'd like to invite family members or friends to join you in this great adventure of going through the Word of God, call and request a pack of our free Listen Bible Bus Passes. It's about the size of a business card, and each one has a QR code and our website address to help them easily find our current study. Request yours today, and we'll get them in the mail right away. Just call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be sure to save you a seat next time.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?
All of my life, I'll serve nobody but you. All of my life, I'll worship nobody but you.
Everywhere that I go, you're always there by my side. Lord, light in my way. It was you that opened my eyes. Through the storm and the rain, you sheltered me through sickness and pain. I will serve nobody but you. I will sing in your holy name. Every tongue confess and every knee bow. You're wonderful and glorious, so marvelous, and you're beyond great. I'll continually praise you, Lord. It's to you my life that I dedicate.
WBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM and W260 CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Greetings, greetings in the name of Jesus, and Merry Christmas to all. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, this is your radio pastor, James Ross of New Life Assembly of God. We're the church in the city with the city in his heart. We love you all out there in Radio Land and all those that have tuned into the broadcast. Some have communicated with us and others haven't, but we still love you as well because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a mandate that we are to love one another as he has first loved us. Love ye one to another, and by this shall all men know that we are his disciples, when we have love one to another. Love is of God, and God is love. Praise the Lord. Well, today we want to get into the Word of God, and we want to talk about the rapture of the church. Praise the Lord. That is the subject today, the rapture of the church. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Praise the Lord. And I pray to God that everyone that have tuned into the broadcast, even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be part of that great company that will meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Praise God. So we want to look at what the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're going to start at the 13th verse, and we're going to come down. This is all scripturally supported. It's not my idea, nor is it something that that I think would happen. I want to tell you, I know that it will happen. And many people today have confused the rapture from the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two different events. Two different events. The rapture of the church will take place. And I want to tell everyone out there in Radio Land that's born again, praise God. And if you're not, I pray that you get born again. Glory to God. Because the time that the church is taken out of here, there will be 7 years of great tribulation. I don't think you want to be here. I don't think you, any one of us, want to be here, praise God. Because if you're not born again now, when that time comes, I don't know how one will be born again. You will have to seal your testimony with your blood. And I tell you today that you have the opportunity, a glorious opportunity, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And you will miss that great tribulation period. 7 years of untold, unmentioned, I don't know how to, what words to use in terms of characterizing what would take place there. But anyhow, we that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are waiting for the coming, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind that the rapture of the church is a different event than what the second coming is telling us. In the rapture of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming for his church. And if you are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is appearing. He's not going to touch ground, or touch the earth, should I say. What is going to happen is that he's going to appear. Now, I don't know the depth of how close he's coming to earth. But if I had to use my imagination for a moment, I would say that between 600 to 800. Well, let me just say this for a moment here. After 12,000 feet there and beyond, you need oxygen. So for below that, now don't hold me to this, dearly, because I'm looking at this in the terms of us meeting him. He's not coming to earth, not in the rapture. He's coming for his church. Praise God. And if you are part of the church, you will meet him in the air. Praise God. Glory to God. And in the second coming, he's coming back with the church. And I thank God that if we coming back with him, praise God, because that's the second coming. So don't confuse the two. The rapture of the church can take place at any moment. That is the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we want to go into what the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. We're going to start there and go on down to the 16th verse. And keep in mind that it's all written. We're just using the proper exegetical approach to Scripture with revelation from the Holy Spirit. This is how we're looking at Scripture. So, Minister Glory, would you read that
yes,
the 13th verse on down there, praise God, because he does not want us to be ignorant.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, born-again believers,
praise
concerning
God.
Them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
You see, the folks that are not born again, they have no hope, but they can have hope if they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. I want to constantly mention that, because the most important thing is that you be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about the denomination that you're part of, or what other things that you feel that you're doing through your disciplines, or whatever it is that you're doing. The point is now, be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture and the resurrection is the same. I want to keep that in mind to all out there in Radio Land. If you believe in the resurrection, you believe in the rapture. It's just two different terminologies. But the whole idea is, be ready to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Minister.
Well, if we believe, praise God, that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
You see, the whole thing is that when Christ comes back for the church, and many people have asked the question, say, well, how is that taking place that the dead in Christ will rise first? Well, I want to tell you, they're already in Christ. Those that have preceded have gone on to be with the Lord, they are with him. And when he comes back in the appearing, they are with him. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. They are with him. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They are in him. Praise God. We are not, we are in him from a spiritual standpoint, but not in terms of being asleep. I'll put it in that fashion. So, Minister Glory, would you continue to read
that? This we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Praise God. Will not prevent them which are asleep. We all going to meet together in the air there. Praise the Lord. One will not be there before the other. And this is why it's a meeting that's going to take place in the air. Now, many people have confused the rapture. And in the Greek, the word caught up, and it tells us there, is hapasso, which means to be snatched, seized, or taken away at any moment. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, this is so important that we all be very mindful and not ignorant of what the scriptures are saying, but be mindful that this event can take place at any time. Now, we don't know when it will take place. We can't put a timeline on it, but we do know that it will take place. And we have to keep in mind that it's the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Because he's coming. He's coming back, and he's going to appear. The scripture tells us that. Glory to God. And the only thing we can do is believe what it says. Minister Glory, would you read?
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Now, isn't that wonderful? The Lord himself. Now, God is able to do all things. He could send angels or an angel to come back to get the church. No, but that's not what the scripture tells us. The scripture says that the Lord himself, you see, this is what it is. He's coming back for his church. Praise God. If you're part of the body of Christ, my God, we should be mindful each and every day as the Lord allows us to see the new day. We should look and say, Lord, I'm waiting for your return. Praise God. Waiting for you to come back for the church. If you're born again, well, if those that are not born again, they are sorrowful and they have no hope, but they can have hope. We believe as children of God that every day is a wonderful day, a glorious day. When God allows us to see this wonderful day, when he allows us to look up and say, wow, it's a new day. Praise God. And Christ still has not come. But we know that he will. And he's coming back for us. Well, I want to tell you, the promise has been already set forth in St. John 14. In verse 1, Jesus said to himself, he said, well, if you believe in God, believe also in me, that in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And if I go to prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. I want to be where I am is. Praise God. May not be proper grammar, but I want to be where I am is. Praise. So he's coming back. And each day we should be mindful of his return. Go ahead, Minister.
With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise first.
Praise God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. This is where this meeting is going to take place. I don't know how many people out there in Radio Land are mindful of the return or the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, it's an imminent return. And when he appears, if you're not ready, you can't get ready. And this is why we must be ready at all times to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, it says that the Lord's coming back. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, I want to jump to something else for a moment before we conclude these passages of Scripture here. Zechariah 14, now that's dealing with the second coming, which is a totally different event than what I'm talking about now. We're speaking of the rapture of the church. And there are many people today, they don't believe in the rapture. Well, if you don't believe in it, then stay here. But I believe in it, so I'm going to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says the Lord himself shall come down. Other words, glory to God. Where is he coming from? He's coming from heaven, praise God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I want to tell you that we don't confuse the trump of God with the trumpets in Revelation. It's not what it's talking about. This is the trump of God. And it says what, minister?
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
And we which are what?
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Now here it is. And we which are alive and remain. We are here. We are alive. And we are remaining. So we're going to do what? We're going to be caught up.
Caught up.
Now that's where that word caught up is hapazo in the Greek, which means to be snatched or seized or be caught away at any moment, a moment's notice. Well, I'm telling you, if you're not right, you can't get right. That's how quick it is. Can't get right if you're not right. We all want to be right. Praise God. I know it's kind of difficult to really cover all of the passages we're talking about here because of the sake of time. But I just want to go a little further. It says that we shall be caught up To what?
Together with them in the clouds.
Together with them in the clouds. Now, he's not talking about the cumuli. He is talking about the witnesses.
Yep.
That word cloud, witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. That's why that meeting's going to take place. My God, aren't you ready out there in Radio Land? Don't you believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us through Apostle Paul, that we will meet the Lord in the air? Praise God. Now, it says here we're in the clouds, in the air,
in
right?
In the air.
Mm-hmm. In the air. So, in other words, it's not, he's telling us that he's not going to touch ground. He's not going to touch earth. He's going to appear. And he's going to say, come, my church. If you're not ready, my God, you can't get ready. Because what is this telling us, Minister Glory?
And shall we ever be with the Lord? Amen? Meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
This is comfort. Praise God. This is a good thing. Glory to God. It's a good thing. Because he's coming back for us. Praise God.
Amen.
In an appearing, I'm quite sure the scripture doesn't elaborate any further concerning how he's going to appear, but it says that I believe that he's coming with open arms and saying, come, praise God, do the appearing. Now, the most important thing is that we cannot confuse this with the second coming in Revelation 19. See, Revelation 19 is talking about the second coming. Now, the rapture takes place between the second coming. Glory to God. Jesus in the rapture is coming for his church. Isn't that wonderful? All that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb will be able to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. We'll be there with the cloud of witnesses. We all will be together. Praise God. Now, in Revelation, I don't mean to skirt, to scoot through this, but it's kind of, it takes a little time to try to elaborate on this that I'm speaking of between the rapture and the second coming. So for the sake of time, I want to just jump over into Revelation 19, because now he's coming back with the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said he's coming back with the church.
Amen.
In Thessalonians 4, he's coming for the church. Ha, ha, ha. Lord, what a glorious time that's going to be. We're going to be changed. Praise God. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. Now, Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 50 and 51, and thereafter, about flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you something here. Jesus, when he comes back for the church, we will be changed. We that are alive and remain. We that are alive, we're in immortal bodies. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. Now, Revelation 19, we want to look at this thing, because now the church is coming back. I said the church is coming back. The church was taken out. There's 7 years of great tribulation period. If you look at the proper exegetical approach to scripture, you look at what is taking place. The church taken out, the Antichrist on the scene, 7 years, and then the church is coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Minister Glory, would you read, let's just start where in Revelation, I think it's the 11th verse.
Yes.
So forth, because John was saying that I saw heaven.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse.
My God.
And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Jesus.
And in righteousness he does judge and make war.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, this is second coming here.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back with the church. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Coming back with the church. Are you ready? Will you be part of the company when Jesus comes back? He's bringing the church back. Now, this time, his foot's going to hit Mount Olive. That's what Zechariah 14 tells us. Glory to God. He's going to split that mountain. This is second coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Minister. Go ahead,
his eyes were as flame of fire.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God.
Glory to God. You know, it's giving good justice to what we're talking about here, because it takes a little time to explain and then scripture references so that one could actually let the Word of God speak to them. Instead of me being the orator, it's time to tell you what scripture says, because you have the teacher on the inside of you. He is the Holy Spirit, and he will bring revelation to you if you really desire to want to know. So the breakdown is the rapture of the church. Good God Almighty, all saints. I said all saints be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be joining the company, the cloud of witnesses. And then after the church is taken out of here, then the Antichrist is coming on the scene. And he's going to be on the scene for 7 years. And it's a terrible time. Time that it begs for description in trying to say what would take place during that time. If folks that are not saved now, it's going to be very difficult, if not almost impossible. Although people will be saved during that tribulation period. Glory to God. They'll seal their testimony with their blood. Then after that, glory to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master himself, will be coming back. But he's coming back with the church. And Minister Girl, you read that verse of scripture where it says that he will make war, right?
Yep. That's
it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He will make war.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine for a moment he's not coming back to earth here as a babe in a manger?
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back here with no strength and power. He's coming back with all power.
Amen.
Great glory. Hallelujah. And he's going to accomplish the whole idea of his divine return. And he's coming back with you and with me and with all others that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Get ready. If you're not ready, get ready. Get ready to be with the Lord Jesus Christ when the rapture of the church take place. Now, it's amazing how people that are reading the very same scriptures that we've just looked at, and they don't believe in the rapture of the church. Then why would Apostle Paul be speaking about it? He said to comfort one another with these words. We should be comforted knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back for the church. He has not called us to uncleanness or to wrath. He's called us to salvation. If you're saved, glory to God, when Christ returned and appeared for the church, glory to God, extended arms open out, and we meet that wonderful group that from past time that have gone on into eternity, now is coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to meet him in the air. Praise the
Amen.
Lord. What a wonderful and joyful time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a meeting that's going to take place in the air. And when we meet, praise God, we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 long years, the presence of God. 7 years now that the Antichrist will be on the scene. And I'm not trying to lift up the Antichrist. That's the whole proper way that the scriptures are laid out, because he can't come on the scene until the church is taken out of here. Praise God. The church will be taken out.
And listen,
he comes on the scene.
Verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven, glory to God, followed him upon a white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean.
That's the church.
That's
praise
that.
God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And the army of the Lord.
Amen.
God.
Army
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. He said the army of the Lord following the commander in chief, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Don't you want to be in that army? Praise God. If you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, believing what the Word of God says, you'll meet him in the air. 7 years later, you'll be coming back with him. Praise God. What a joyous time
that
will be.
That will be.
Just and it says Men's glory. And it says that the armies in the Lord. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks talking about angels. God don't need angels to be doing no fighting. How are you listening to what I'm saying here? It's not angels. It's the church.
Amen.
The church. He's coming back with the church.
Yes.
He appeared before in the rapture, and he came for the church.
Right.
And now he's coming back in the second coming. He's coming back with the church.
Amen.
Mr. Gloria, we want to kind of like read that verse of scripture, the armies in heaven. Yes. Praise God.
And the armies which were in heaven.
Praise God.
Followed him upon white horses.
Amen.
Clothed in fine linen.
Good God Almighty.
White and clean. That's purity.
Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
What a great day that would be.
Mm-hmm.
What a great day that would be. Yes. I want to just say out there in Radio Land, you have something else you want to say before? I would say out there in Radio Land that all that have tuned into the broadcast, we're not trying to force any opinion on you. Just look at the scriptures and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord, let's give me the revelation in terms of what you've heard on the broadcast. The scriptures are emphatically clear. God will give you the revelation. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Let him teach you. Forget about what you've heard somebody else have said. Follow the scriptures. The word is true. He came for us. In Revelation 19, he's coming back with us. We're the armies that are following him from heaven. Praise God. Well, I thank you all out there in Radio Land, because I tell you, I want to extend the invitation, because this imminent return, you don't have time to get right if you're not right. But you have time right now. While you have breath in your body, you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would extend this wonderful invitation to all who do not know him. And we want to pray for our brothers and sisters that know him, that they will be ready when the rapture takes place. Minister Gloria, very quickly, yes. We have...
Today is the day of salvation. Repeat after me that, yes, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Just look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God bless you all out there in Radio Land until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.